Welcome to episode 6 of the Dice Cast, recorded earlier at Fan Expo 2009. Episode 6, an interview with Jess Hartley. Yeah!
We have an interview with Jess Hartley, who I caught up with at Fan Expo 2009.
Fan Expo is an annual multimedia convention that features science fiction, fantasy, horror, and gaming, among many, many other things. It has over 30,000 attendees, and it's held every August in Toronto, Canada.
Now, she was one of the panelists there, and so we caught her just at the end of the second day of the con. Jess Hartley obviously needs no introduction. Everybody who's a fan of White Wolf knows that she's written extensively for them, from Vampire the Requiem, Werewolf the Forsaken, Scion, Exalted, Promethean. Some of her titles include Midnight Road.
I had a look at her website, jesshartley.com. There's a link to it in the show notes, and she has a list of credits that's too long to list to do her any justice.
Now, one of the things that we wanted to ask her was how she got to work with White Wolf, and to tell us a little bit about her freelancing career and her life as a freelancer. And she gave some very interesting ideas for people who do want to work as freelancing in the gaming industry.
She talks a little bit about the stereotypes of women in horror.
Yeah, as well. We touched on top of that. And she also mentioned some of the things that you can find on her website. She mentioned some of her prep projects, including One Geek to Another, which is a little segment that she's added on there, and we'll let her explain to you that a little bit more detail. Now, we apologize a little bit in advance for the recording. This was done, like we said, at the show, and of course, once in a while, we'll be interrupted by a big booming voice in the
loudspeaker.
In a loudspeaker, yeah. It's basically, we recorded this at the end of the second day, and that big loudspeaker was basically telling everybody to leave as the convention was closing down for the day at the time.
Telling the exhibitors to pack up their booths.
Yeah, so we just decided to leave that in there because, quite frankly, it just adds a little bit more flavor. So without further ado, here we go to Fan Expo and Jess Hartley.
Right after this.
Okay, Mags, you know about the reviews, interviews, news, and discussions that we have here on All Games Considered. But before you join up, we should tell you about the curse.
Wait, what?
Yeah, what's this about?
The co-host curse. I mean, you know, first there was just Mike and his bizarre gardening accident. Poor
bizarre
guy.
Bizarre gardening.
And then there was the first Chris. He choked on...
Mark, what does this have to do with anything?
Well, you guys are going through co-host at an alarming rate.
And it's not going to get better if Mark keeps scaring them away.
All Games Considered, featuring news and conversations about all aspects of tabletop gaming, is a proud member of Goblin, the gaming broadcast network.
Start your journey at www.agcpodcast.info.
Let me guess, the second Chris spontaneously combusted during a recording, right?
Yeah, how did you know?
If you liked this show, come on over to rpgpodcasts.com, where you'll find dozens more great role-playing podcasts.
All right, so here we are at Fan Expo. We're sitting down with Jess Hartley, who's a guest of honor this year. And welcome to the show, Jess. And how do you like Toronto so far?
Thank you. I'm having a fantastic time. We've been doing a lot of wandering around the area, around the convention center here, and it's a beautiful town. I'm really enjoying it.
So, Jess, you did quite a bit of writing on White Wolf, if it's fair to say. Maybe you can tell maybe some of our listeners how you got started in as a freelancer.
I actually really had a very, very lucky entering into the RPG industry because I had started out doing novels for White Wolf, and then when they refocused their attention away from fiction and back on the RPG industry, I was able to make the transition over to writing for their game line. So I kind of went at it backwards. A lot of folks get in and do game books and then want to kind of level up to doing novels. And so I kind of came at it backwards, but it's been a good run so far.
Now, for a lot of people, writing for White Wolf, of course, being their vampire, werewolf, and all things dark and scary, a lot of people would think, well, you know, it's funny to see that there's a woman who's doing this. I mean, was that something you always were into? Did you start with horror when you started writing? Or can you tell us a little bit about the genre itself? Is that something that appealed to you, or is that just something that just happened and it's sort of built on that way?
Well, I think that anyone who thinks that, you know, dark and scary is not a field for women hasn't actually met women. I think we're perfectly suited for that because it tends to be an area that we're capable of real strong evoking real strong emotional reactions. Not that male writers aren't. I don't like to differentiate between male and female writers at all. But I've been a fan of horror stuff since I was old enough to read. I can remember taking out Alfred Hitchcock and Carol Beach York and that sort of thing when I was in fifth, sixth grade from the library, and having the librarian actually contact my mom and, you know, be like, are you really sure that, you know, your daughter should be reading all this kind of stuff? Because I was doing, you know, Stephen King and Alfred Hitchcock and that kind of thing at a very early age. So
and so you got flagged for reading Alfred Hitchcock as in like potential serial killer.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that that she was worried that, you know, I might be kind of doing the emo angst kind of thing, but it wasn't. I find the genre really, really fascinating. I think that it's very...
Attention fans, we have 5 minutes left for today. 5 minutes left. Please complete your purchases and exit through the front doors. Thank you for attending FanExpo Canada 2009.
All right, well, the show's almost over, so we can ask the rest of our questions.
So, yeah, I
think that those... Don't forget to rebook for 2010.
The interview that will never happen.
Special guest introduction by God.
That was the voice of God just telling her, listen to Anne Rice, go towards the bright side.
No, please. Okay, so yeah, I've always been interested in dark stuff, and I think that there's a lot of the White Wolf stuff also has a very dark sensuality to it, and that's another aspect that I really enjoy writing about when getting into, you know, the Deva and the Galatea for Promethean and the fairest aspect for the changelings, where you're really dealing with the manipulation of human emotion. I think that's a very, very visceral subject, and I really enjoy writing about it.
Now, my understanding is that you started writing for White Wolf before the whole reset in the New World of Darkness. Is that correct?
Just barely. I actually had my first submission to White Wolf was a trilogy pitch back when the old World of Darkness was still happening. It was for a trilogy focusing on kinfolk, which were the non-werewolf family members of werewolves. And when I submitted it, they liked it a lot. However, they were already planning the Year of Fire, but they hadn't advertised it yet. So they were like, well, this is great, but we really can't use it. But would you like to send in a pitch for other things? And so the first project that I actually pitched for beyond that original project was for the novel series for the Exalted line, which is actually not World of Darkness. It's their kind of anime-inspired line. So I worked on that a bit, and then I got started. My second novel was supposed to be in the Werewolf the Forsaken line. They were going to be doing a trilogy of novels set in that line, and I was hired to write one of them. However, then that whole line line went the way of the dodo when they decided to refocus away from fiction. So because I had been working on the werewolf line, you know, working with the writers who were creating it, to keep in contact with them so that I would know how to make any changes to my novel as the rules changed, when they had a project that they needed worked on, they called me because they didn't have very many writers who were experienced with werewolf because it hadn't even come out yet. So that's kind of how I made the transition in. So.
Now, I'm sure a lot of people are curious. How is it writing for White Wolf? I mean, you sit in a cubicle, you work at home. Is it a big glamorous life that everybody else, you know, do you have to kill somebody to work there? Like, how does that work?
Well, you can kill someone, but it's not the way I actually recommend. It's difficult to do freelance work from jail. I, like many freelance writers, I work from home. I live in Arizona, and the main office for White Wolf is in Atlanta. So until very recently, I hadn't even gotten a chance to visit the main offices. All of my work is done through my home office and done electronically. Thank goodness with all of the technology advances that have been going on in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, it's really easy to share project files and keep in contact and that sort of thing. So it's really made working in a virtual office basically very, 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 very simple.
And I guess the other thing, too, that a lot of people maybe are interested in knowing is, what is your take about the readers or the people who read the books that you produce and play the games that you've worked on and, you know, the fans out there? Have you had feedback from them at all? Are people liking what you're doing? Or do you have some people who have some odd stories, some people with very weird conceptions of how the book should have been written and then feel like they need to tell you on the forums and emails?
Well, I think that that's definitely, you know, you get that 0.5% of fans of anything, whether it's, you know, role-playing games or football or sports cars or whatever. You know, you do get a tiny little selection of people who are just really, really way out there. But for the most part and by the vast majority, the fans have just been absolutely fantastic. I try and stay really, really accessible to people. I have my website. I hand out my business cards with my email all the time so that people can just write me if they have a question about something I worked on or if they need some advice on how to get into the industry or any of that kind of thing. I think it's a real love relationship. I've been very, very blessed for the most part to have just a fantastic group of fans with a huge amount of support. I feel very, very fortunate.
I'm sure writing for White Wolf, and if you're doing any kind of horror writing, I mean, what kind of research, what kind of things you do? Have you ever done things that, you know, as a writer?
Kill people.
No, not kill people. No. But, I mean, for your inspiration in terms... No, I was going to ask about that because, you know, I value my life and we're kind of secluded here. And even security won't know where we are. No, but, I mean, where do you get your inspiration? And have there been moments where... You scared yourself thinking of things and creeped yourself out, and then we're afraid to turn out the light for the rest of the night, and it's just I'm never turning off my computer.
As far as inspiration goes, I'm a big fan of traditional storytelling, folk tales, legend, mythology, fairy tales. I've been a big fan of that since I was a little girl and first started reading. I also do a lot of reading and watching movies and that kind of thing because I really honestly believe that there's no completely original story, that every new story that's being told is really paying homage to other tales and mixing and matching and blending and making them unique. It's kind of like cooking. You know, you don't invent ingredients. You take the ingredients and you make something new out of them. I've been pretty lucky so far. I haven't really creeped myself out too bad, although I did when we were working on Promethean, working on the supplements for that. I watched a movie called May, and I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's a really, really psychotic little story, and I loved it, but I got done watching. My husband actually had to stop watching it because it was so disturbing, which is funny because he's really more of the horror slasher-fic fan of the two of us. But I did finish it about 3 in the morning and spent some time, you know, doing some mindless video games or something to kind of purge it out of my brain before I actually laid down and tried to go to sleep.
So nothing like a good old first-person shooter, kill everybody in sight to get the murderous instinct out of you after watching a movie about a little girl, I think, who's trying to decapitate people and create his own her own perfect boyfriend. I think that's a plot.
Yeah, exactly. If you can't make friends, create them or that sort of thing. Yeah, I'm not really a first-person shooter game. I'm more of like a builder. or I like Civilization and that kind of thing. So,
If you had any comments or any suggestions that you would like to give to any freelancers out there who would like to follow in your footsteps and work, and, you know, to write for a living like yourself, what would it be?
Well, I actually just finished doing a series of articles called Gen Con for the Aspiring Professional that gives a lot of advice about how to interact with people who are already in the industry, and they're linked on my website, www.jesshartley.com. So you can download those actually as a free, like, 16-page PDF. I had a really great layout artist who did the layout for the PDF, so it's a very nice product. There's a tendency to treat going into freelancing as kind of an extension of the hobby, which to some extent it is, but at the same time it's really a job, and being professional about things like communication and timelines and deadlines and in turning in a quality product on time and on specification is as important or more important in the freelance industry as it is in any other job. So I think really looking at it as a job and being realistic about your expectations and your abilities is really the key to becoming a successful freelancer.
Now, a lot of writers would probably wonder, and some of them who are actually working on a book, when you start working on a project, does it always look like, oh, that's going to be done in 2 days, and then after that you're like, okay, yeah, this might not take another couple of months, and in terms of like pacing yourself writing, do you find that there's always a lack between what you think you can achieve in terms of the writing and then get to a point where you have to, you know, realign? Have you come to a term of, like, in terms of writing, how easy it is for you to actually lay out the words to the page, or you have writer's block? I mean, all these things, like the process in terms of like the raw technical process of producing a book for a company, I mean, you have to do it by deadline. I mean, what advice would you have to give to people on something like that?
I think once you get to the point where you're actually getting projects and you have a deadline, that in and of itself is a big motivator, because you a lot of amateur writers or people who are aspiring writers find that it's easy to say, well, I can't think of anything to write today, so I'll just go play video games for a while, or I'll just go do something else. Whereas when you're on a deadline, you really kind of have to sit down and go, okay, I have 20,000 words to do, I have 3 weeks to do it. If I divide that out and take out the day I've got to go to the dentist and that sort of thing, I've got to write X amount of words per day, period. And I actually have an Excel spreadsheet that I use that kind of keeps track of how many days I have left on the project, how many average words per day I've got to do in order to hit the deadline. And I always try and give myself like an extra week, so that if something happens with the family, or I do hit writer's block, or goodness forbid that I get an inspiration for another project and I end up spending 6,000 words writing on something else just because the inspiration struck me, and then my writing for the project hasn't been done that day, you work in some wiggle room. But really, in my opinion, one of the fallacies about writing professionally is that you have to wait for the muse to strike you. And, honestly, I really believe that you have to kind of chain that bitch to the desk and just, make the words come out. You can't get up and wander around and, open up your video game and that kind of thing, because then you'll never get anything done. You just have to sit down and stay with, your butt in the chair and your fingers on the keyboard until it all comes out.
Do you participate in National NaNoWriMo?
I never have, because every year it seems like in November I'm always on a big project. And this year I'm kind of between projects in November, and so I may actually try it. Unless, some incoming projects. You kind of have to do the work, the pay-for-hire stuff first.
Well, do you have any other comments or questions or things that you'd like to maybe raise? Is there anything issue at heart? Are you working on something currently right now that sneak peek of what we can expect in the future of Jess Hartley?
Actually, I just started a really interesting project, I think. It's called One Geek to Another, and it's an ongoing column about geek etiquette and ethics, on how to handle uncomfortable situations that we as, kind of a different culture than our parents were in, get into. I don't think that Miss Manners is directly applicable to many of the situations that we're in nowadays. But I definitely think that there's something to be learned from handling situations, you know, with etiquette and professionalism and that sort of thing. So it's an ongoing series with weekly updates on my website, and we kind of do an alternating structure between short essay topics. For example, the first one was on doing introductions, which I think is kind of becoming a lost art in our generation. Then alternating with kind of a Dear Abby style question and answer, so people can write in with situations that make them uncomfortable and get some advice on how to handle it in a really positive way. And so it's kind of a service I'm providing, and I'm really excited about it. I'm getting a chance to get some insight into what challenges other people in our subculture are dealing with, and getting a chance to help a little bit. So, you know, if you have any questions, come send them to onegeek@jesshartley.com, and I'll do my best to answer them.
And these are basically, it's advice on handling etiquette on the web, forums, or
show
real life.
Please exit through the pod. The show is now closed.
Interrupting people while they're doing interviews.
it's everything, really. One of the next episodes that I'm doing that's coming out next week is on texting etiquette. That's something, you know, that our parents never had to deal with. And so, you know, things like, you know, when is it, how do you handle getting an incoming text during the middle of a conversation? Is it okay to bring your BlackBerry or that sort of thing to the dinner table? What about when you're out at a restaurant? You know, how to handle it at work, that sort of thing. So I'm basically gonna handle all of the kind of life situations that our generation gets into, because I don't think that, I mean, we're not just geeks when we're on the internet, we're not just geeks when we're at work or when we're at home. It's kind of a full-time situational environment. So I'm hopefully gonna cover everything that people throw at me.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the interview, and hope to see you more at Fan Expo and other games convention.
Thank you. It's been great. Thank you for having me out.
All right. Perfect.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dicecast, brought to you by Polymancer Studios Incorporated. We hope you enjoyed it. If you have any comments, opinions, or even recommendations and reviews, just let us know and we'll get back to you. Maybe you would like to recommend someone for an interview. It's always nice. We hope that you are all well and flu-free this season.
Well, that's all the time we have for this segment. You can find out more about who we are and what we do at our websites, www.polymancer.com, and our main corporate website, www.polymancerstudios.com. The music for this segment, Fort Minor, Remember the Name, BYFH Remix by Chojin, Violated Instrumental by Technetium, Industrial March Beat, and Triple Layer Guitar in E by Neurowax are all released under the Creative Commons license. This episode is copyright 2009 Polymancer Studios Incorporated, released under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative 3.0 license, available at creativecommons.org. This episode may be copied and redistributed as long as due credit is given to the copyright owner and it is done in unmodified form. Dicecast is a trademark of Polymancer Studios Incorporated. The word Polymancer is a registered trademark of Polymancer Studios Incorporated. Thank you for listening to the Dicecast.